We're gonna get the show kicked off with One Final Scare. Give it up for One Final Scare, everybody!
That's right. We are One Final Scare, not to be confused with One Anal Scare, just in case you were misreading our shirts. Okay,
so we did tweak the logo after, you know, I initially designed it and printed stickers and t-shirts. I was like, oh, that looks like Anal Scare.
Okay, wait a minute, but here's the thing. Mickey never likes to listen to me. And I told him, adjust the kerning, and it didn't happen until I went to a restaurant with this shirt on.
Explain
and a girl
kerning.
Goes, kerning, sorry, us typographers and graphic designers, it's the space between two letters. So this is the first gen of t-shirts where it still looks like One Anal Scare. And there you go. And I went to a restaurant. And I walked in, and I had the shirt on, and this chick goes, oh, my gosh, that's a really cool shirt.
Oh, my gosh.
What's One Anal Scare? And I was like, it's something that happened to me once, and I will never let it happen again. Am I right?
I think it's funny that she came up and asked, because she was curious. She's like, I need to find
but
out.
But do you want to know what happened the very next day?
I need to learn about anal scare. What?
Do you want to know what happened the very next day, though?
What?
I texted you, and you changed that shit.
Yeah, I did change it. Okay, look. My whole defense, though, was there was another A. It doesn't look nothing like...
It doesn't matter. It's what people's brains and eyes see. They see anal.
Can
so.
You explain to the crowd
it's a, look, here's the
where
thing.
You were in Maryland?
It's fine. It's Waldorf. It doesn't matter.
Thank you.
It's fine.
Thank you. Okay. That explains a lot.
So that's a whole different other kind of show. This show is a little different, though. This is about horror movies. And yes, we're at a comedy
that's
fest,
right.
But we fancy ourselves the, you know... comedian, shall I say?
She does.
Okay, no, he does. Okay, but for real though, we started One Final Scare because we used to work together.
Yeah, we used to work together at an agency, and we found out that we both had film background and liked horror films.
Yep.
And so we used to host horror movie nights at our agency, like maybe once,
like
every
once
other
every couple of weeks yeah,
whatever.
With some coworkers.
Yeah, so we did that, and I mean, we basically had a mutual relationship of like of love of films and horror films.
Yeah.
And
made a few short films ourselves. We're doing one next weekend, right?
That's right.
48-hour
film festival. Y'all.
And so we decided to do this. And raise hands for those of you who have ever heard us. Oh,
look at everyone.
There's like so many people.
Who are you?
That's amazing.
Leave now.
You're banished from the room. No, that's super cool. We really appreciate it. And if you wouldn't mind, as we tell all of our listeners and all of our episodes, but if you could subscribe to us, rate us, review us on iTunes. It helps us keep the show going. And search for us on Instagram and Facebook. I'll just pitch that now. Why not? You know, hey,
sure.
Just get right to it.
Just break the outline of that. I wrote day long.
Outline for me. Usually I'm the one who has the notes and I stick on the script, and usually Mickey's telling me not to, but
it's fine,
right? So anything else about
usually our show is about what we do is we take whether it's an old movie or something that came out recently and a whole movie, and we recap it from beginning to end, regardless of if there's a twist at the end. We're going
to tell it.
Or we spoil the shit out of it.
Spoil the shit out of it.
So
that's what we do.
For people who don't like horror films, we've gotten feedback where they say, you know what? I hate horror films. They scare the shit out of me.
I won't watch them, but I love listening
to your podcast because it tells me from beginning to end.
Yep.
I don't have to watch it again.
Yeah.
Other people have actually said they will go watch it either before and listen to our feedback, or they'll go watch it afterwards.
Yeah.
And sort of kind of assess it, you know, on their own.
And we retell it because we like hearing the sounds of our own voices. But then also we put our own kind of spin on things. We put our own perspectives. We kind of debate often.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Too much.
No.
No?
Not too much. Yeah. But it's often.
So usually we do one full feature film. Yeah.
Yep.
And or a couple different short films. And tonight, with a short
tonight.
Show as it is, we're just doing one short film for you
short,
guys.
Yeah. Short show,
and
short crowd.
And we've done a short crowd. This is a crowd of little people.
Yeah.
Nope.
I mean... That was real laughter.
It was his face. Okay. So how did we choose this one, Mink?
So I actually just Googled best short film of 2016, and a bunch of them came up. There's actually a lot of amazing horror short films that are out there, but they don't get any.
There's also a lot that are not amazing.
Well, yeah, that too, but they don't get a lot of recognition. Shudder carries a handful of them. A lot of them just after doing their festival run, they just rot on their website. They just sit there.
Yeah.
Right. And there is also a channel on YouTube called Crypt TV that actually highlight these films and highlight the creators of these films. So a lot of them, it seems like what happens is it's almost like a portfolio. Like you have a really great premise or idea. They'll go out film a short film, like 5-6 film of your premise of your horror film. And some of them get picked up by the studios to make it into a full-length film, like Lights Out,
right,
or Mama.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Like some of the best short horror films we've talked about, the ones that like they're so good that they make them into full feature films, the full feature films never really turn out quite as good as you expect them to be. Lights Out was one of them. I know you haven't seen it, and I know we've talked about this, but to me it was like, oh my God, it was such a letdown. Yeah. But so we watched like, I don't know, 6 or 8 to pick one for tonight.
A good handful of them, yeah.
And there were actually like 3 that we were kind of juggling back and forth about talking about. But this one we chose, it's called The Smiling Man. Not to be confused with 2 a.m. The Smiling Man. And Mickey brought a board that we mounted with the
visual.
There you go, a little visual, yeah, which you don't typically get while you're listening. this one came, it was actually created in 2015, but it didn't get popular until 2016. And it premiered at South By, and it went through all the channels, and it got so popular, it went through like 29 different film fests. Yeah. So it was shown throughout the entire short film circuit, and it got like rave reviews, and we watched it, and we loved it. And it's very rare that we really, really love a short horror film everything from the film production, the acting, the movie,
storytelling
effects.
Storytelling was pretty thin, but I mean.
Yeah, no, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we get to it.
We had this thing about issue with short stories is that, I mean, because you have such a limited time, you can't really have backstories or
right.
You can't explain a lot. So
character
a lot of the times, it's either it leaves you with wanting more, which is great, or sometimes you're sitting there, what the fuck did I just watch?
I know. That's so many of them.
So a lot of them kind of ends that way, right?
Sure, yeah. Sure. So should we get right to it?
Let's get right to it.
All right. Yeah. So, all right. So the movie opens with a shot of an outside of a house, kind of the upstairs.
Just think your suburban house in Chevy Chase, Maryland.
In Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Beautiful
house. Then you go into the house and you're in a bedroom with a little girl surrounded by her teddy bears watching.
She's watching this old... What's Circus Caper?
It's
black and white.
Circus Capers.
Like wannabe Walt Disney movie. Like,
it actually has a very similar...
Steamboat Willie.
It has a Minnie and Mickey character, but it was a total knockoff
of
the time.
Yeah, it's a knockoff. They were stealing
it. And it's a real black and white animation. She was watching it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, no fucking way that this is on television at any point in time for this little girl to be watching. It's just like a total... Total bullshit.
Yeah.
So she's watching it by herself, and
you see the camera's behind her, and you see the shadow of her.
You see a shadow of the wall.
And then you see a shadow of a figure in the corner of the room, like moving, and that catches her eye. So she looks over, and of course it's gone.
And she's like, well, let me go check it out, because that's what little kids do, right?
Yep. She gets up. She walks out into the hallway, and in the hallway is a red balloon.
Just one.
Just one, and tied to an anchor, and it's just sitting there in the middle of the hallway.
And she trepidatiously goes over and picks it up and pulls it up and looks inside of it, and strangely, there's doll parts, like arms and legs with sticks and stuff inside of a bag. I don't really know why there's sticks in there, but there are. So little doll parts, and she picks it up, and she's a little inquisitive.
Yeah.
And
while she's doing that, the camera like sort of shifts, and there is a blue balloon down the stairs.
Halfway
down the stairs, anchored again. And then you see you see one hand putting the balloon there.
Just dropping it.
Just
see
a silhouette of it, and you see long fingernails as he pulls away.
And it's a really cool little, like, whoop.
Yeah.
So she goes over.
And you're like, oh, shit.
She walks down.
It's getting real. It's getting real.
Shit's getting real.
Yeah.
So she walks down the steps, and she picks up the second blue balloon this time, and she lifts it up, and now there's some, like, legs of a doll and more steps.
More doll parts.
I don't know why. I guess we're going to build a fire later.
Yeah.
And she all of a sudden hears a creak of a door back upstairs, and it's probably mom and dad's room, and she sees the door that's just ajar shutting just ever so slightly, and you hear...
Closing.
And she kind of is interested, but she's like, yeah, fuck it. So
she's like, yeah, fuck it.
I'm just going to keep. And at this moment in time, there's a jump scare, which is Mickey's least favorite thing in the entire world. Am I right?
Yes, because I think jump scares are cheap.
But was this not a good one?
It was decent, but it's still cheap.
All right. So there's this little arm. There's this little arm that comes around her shoulder. And
it touches her hair.
It almost touches her hair. Yeah. Don't touch my hair.
It was me.
So the hand is about to touch her just as she turns. And when she turns, the camera pans back to show you that, like, this person or thing is gone.
Yeah.
So it disappears. All right.
But
so.
Instead, she sees a black balloon on the first floor.
Yep. Right? That's leading to the kitchen.
Yeah.
So she goes.
She turns around, goes downstairs, picks it up.
Guess what's in there? No more legs and arms, because we've exhausted legs and arms. Now it's a doll head.
What's missing?
With these really weird drawings all over the face, cheeks and forehead or whatever. And she picks it up, and she kind of has a little, like, what the fuck face. And then...
Where's her parents?
Where are her parents? Well, they're in that creaking door, right? That she was like, I don't care.
Doing what?
Look, I walked into a door that I shouldn't have when I was a kid once before. I wish her not
really?
That. Yes. Are you kidding me?
Your parents?
Yes. You haven't?
No.
It's the worst. Don't do it.
It's the worst.
So she then kind of looks into the kitchen, and what's in the kitchen is a rolling can and, like, trash everywhere. And I was like, that's not the family dog that did that.
Yeah, it just, and you see, like, a can of soup rolling across from behind the island to the other side.
Yep.
And she curiously walks towards it, right?
And she's walking very closely towards it. And the camera does some really cool things where it just looks at her little cute pink shoes, and she's just standing there. And then you can tell by the first step that she takes that she's going to keep making the decision to keep walking forward, which is really interesting.
And then your favorite scene?
Yeah. Well, so my favorite scene, this is really cool. The director chose to film a scene from an aerial view where you see her walking towards the kitchen island, and there's this creepy figure hiding behind the island.
On the other side of the island.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as she's getting closer, he's retracting back, and it's very Gollum-like. And so he's kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
And he almost looks completely naked, but we find out later he's got a little loincloth on.
Gollum with, like, sharp
teeth. Well, you don't see him. You don't see that yet. You just see the top of his head, right?
Yeah.
And so she's, like, walking in the kitchen, and when she comes around, boop, peekaboo.
Yeah. you see this Gollum-like character that has, like, crusted white ashes all over his body, dark, sunken eyes.
Long fingernails
and sharp teeth, and he's smiling at her.
And there's, like, red all over his fingernails and eyes.
And he starts to, like, do this magic motion in his hand, pulls out this red nose.
And P.S., she's holding all three balloons.
Mm-hmm. And then he, you know, puts the red nose. He gives her the red nose,
so, like,
right?
First he, like, you know, like a magician would do, where it's like, ooh, like, oh, here's a red nose. Look at, I pulled it from my armpit, you know. So he does that, and he drops it and rolls to her feet, and it intrigues her, so she picks it up, and she's almost about to put it on her nose, and
it
he's like
she was
this.
About to take a bite
it
of it.
Did.
It
like,
did. Yeah.
That's why I was a little confused what it was. Yeah. But anyway, he's like this. He's like, ooh, ooh, like he's so excited, and
but really creepy. So
very
it's like,
creepy.
Yeah, it's uneasy.
And it's like
it's really
this
uneasy.
Old naked crusty man.
Yeah.
Like, why is he in this?
So at this point, I think the viewer gets a little like we get concerned, right, about our. Heroin.
I'm not really concerned because that little girl does not seem concerned at all. And I kind of
because she's a bad actress.
You know, I don't know if she's a bad actress, but there was like no emotion whatsoever.
Bad.
So I was like, you know what? She's just like, she's just going to do what she wants to do. And I don't really care.
So, and we cut back.
I'm callous, so I don't have children.
And then takes his hand and paints his face with this red paint.
Well, so he's giggling and he's laughing hysterically.
And he starts to paint his face. His eyes first, right? And you. This is where you...
Eyebrows.
Yeah, eyebrows first, and you go, okay, he's...
He's making a clown face.
Making a clown face that's obviously, it's kind of like all messy and crusty.
But Minky, where is he getting this, like, paint from? From the floor?
It is. He's getting it from the floor.
He's like wiping something from the floor, and he wipes these big eyebrows, and he's like laughing, and then he puts a big red nose on his face. Yep. And at this point, he's like laughing hysterically, and she's just staring at him like she don't give a fuck.
Yep. And then he sort of kind of like moves his body away to show her something. And
he goes like this. Ta-da!
And it's her mom.
In a plastic bag.
Yeah. In the corner of the kitchen.
Just sitting
there. And you're like, oh, shit. And you, there's a close-up of her face, and she sees her daughter and takes her last breath.
Yeah.
You can tell her, like, she kind of exhales, and, like, she, like, she dies, right?
I mean, she dies.
Yeah. And then he starts to laugh.
I mean, she's not just an exhale. Yeah, he starts to laugh,
and then he goes and gets more paint.
Yep.
And then
blood.
It's more blood.
I hate to tell you. See,
yeah. And then he takes it across his mouth and
makes a big smile.
Big Joker smile. Right?
And at this point, his laughter turns to complete, sinister, hysterical laughter. I mean, this is no longer like giggly, funny. This is freaking weird, crazy laughter. And his teeth, as you said before, like are teeny little, pointy, scary teeth.
Yeah.
And the little girl's face, they did a really cool shot too when she recognizes that it's her mom and she kind of looks behind him. They do this thing where they blur, you know, the focus, they use the focus.
Rock focus.
Yep. So it's like she's out of focus and he's in focus and then it goes to her and goes back.
Yep.
And then it goes to the little girl and it's like this slow motion, realization that it's her mom and she's like naked in a plastic cover, which is super strange.
Was she naked?
Yeah, she was like, I mean, I saw her shoulders and it looked like a lot of skin.
And so he takes his hand, right? And he goes,
shh, up against himself.
And then
the coolest scene, it's a wide shot of just an arm that comes through the kitchen island to the little girl's mouth and tells her to shh.
Yeah.
And then it goes to black.
And he says, yeah, that's the end. The smiling man.
So
exactly.
Like,
that's the face I made as well. But it was good. It was shot really well.
It was really, really good.
Yeah. And the guys who made this, they work in the movie industry. The director and the writer.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
He's the director, writer. Yeah. And I think he actually helped edit too.
He's a visual effects guy for like Transformers, Avatar,
Mummy,
all these other like big Hollywood movies. So this is, I guess, his second short film, something that he will do like between movies, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
It gets his friends from the industry as well, you know, actors and makeup artists and things like that. So that's why it looked so clean and so beautiful compared to other short films that we've seen. That's like,
well, and he really planned it out. I mean, we went through kind of the background of his ideas. I mean, they did Cinema 4D like schematics for every single scene.
That was a little over.
He said it's because they had a little kid on set and she had like a limit of 6 hours of filming. So they really planned through every single scene and everything. And then he also, so we were reading about this and something that I thought was really interesting was, his idea behind this film was especially filming the location, picking a location. He said he really wanted to have like a perfect suburban house because he said your home is the safest place, or it should be anyway. So he said a lot of movies like this, Home Invasion or Scary Haunted House, like they're all in these kind of scary looking houses. So I thought it was really interesting. It was kind of like a model home, if you will. So the juxtaposition of this like perfectly painted, very bright, lots of white framed pictures all over the hallway when she's walking down the steps. It is supposed to be the sanctuary, and it's so not, because what in God's name is in your house now?
Ronald McDonald. Came calling. Came to collect.
Yeah, he did come to collect.
Yeah.
So, you know, at this point in time, we usually, we talk about kind of how we feel about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a clown horror film, right? And we've seen a lot of them.
Well, and he intentionally started with the movie Circus Capers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, or the show, whatever it is, the animated cartoon.
So one of the ones we do on the show is that we look up if there's sort of, we were like, okay, is there a phobia, a clown phobia, right? Are people like, people who are afraid or have fear of clowns? And there is, but it's not clinical. There's a term for it, but it's not the, I guess, the association of, like, you know, psychology association or whatever. Yeah. Don't
know. We're pretty bad at pronouncing this, but I think it's coulrophobia. C-O-U-L-R-O-phobia. And as clowns. He said, it's a new term. It's a new term given because I think this is kind of a new fear that's started from the 80s.
That's not real.
Well, I think it is real. I think it is real. And so we were talking about this. We were like, where did this start? And also, I think it's really interesting because, so this movie came out in 2015, like we said.
Yep.
But it got really popular in 2016, last year. And who does not remember the like scary...
The clown
craze yeah, shit that was happening. Yeah, the clown craze
that was happening. Phenomenon.
I am wondering if he started it.
Maybe. You know what? We even did Separate Beds that are sketch about clowns because of that as
interesting.
Well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. We killed 3 clowns down that sketch.
That would be Mickey's sketch.
A span
sketch
of 30 seconds,
group.
Right?
So we were talking about like where the fear thing came from. And so, of course, I also love true crime and serial killers and all things murder. And in 1978, obviously, was when we all found out about John Wayne Gacy, who was literally a clown for a job.
Sure.
And then in 1980.
Can anybody guess what movie possibly made this fear of clown really, really popular?
It. Yeah, the one with the clown. So, and then It came out, and the 80s was, it was really interesting. The 80s and 90s were full of horror clown movies, which is so fucking weird to me. It's really interesting. And I brought something that I want to share because I grew up in the 80s, and my mother, I lived in this tiny little house, and every single wall of ours had shit like this on our walls, okay? Like, my mother was obsessed with clowns. What was she trying to do to me, though? Like, what is that? This is huge, by the way, and I wanted to bring it. Minky told me not to, so I brought a picture. But, this was one of, like, many clown things on my wall. And there was even like this little figurine. I used to have nightmares where it would come to life.
Yeah.
So there's something there. And what we read online was that people are acknowledging that it's a fear because children have this sense to want to be drawn to things that are very human-like, but not quite. And so clowns are so close to being human-like, and they look at them, but then it's like quite terrifying because the features are so exaggerated, and then that typically sticks with people throughout their adult life.
So she read that, and I sort of don't believe.
Okay.
This theory, because
please, tell me
if
why.
That's the case, and this chlorophobia will be rampant, right?
I mean, rampant?
I just mean like rampant.
We're all like running through the streets. I'm fucking scared of clowns.
Phobia, everyone would have it. I just don't think like fear of clown isn't. I don't know. It's not a real thing.
It is a real thing.
I just don't think. I think we see a lot of movies that are sort of like, oh, these are clowns, but actually monsters. Like this here.
Okay, so this Smiley Man. And that's the thing. So this is an interesting movie because it's like, what is he?
Is
up with the body parts and the like the doll parts and the bags? So we talked about this too, and we were like, couldn't you have just done the movie without the bags of doll parts with the weird drawings on the faces and arms?
But then again, that's sucks about short films, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
A lot of
things I'm okay with short films leaving things open ended, but like, what was up with that?
Yeah. I don't know.
It was not necessary. He loves. Just saying.
That's all he had in his house. He's like, shit, how am I supposed to anchor this balloon? I'm out of Jolly Ranchers.
Sticks and doll parts.
Damn, doll parts it is.
I think that was the interesting thing about this. Is like, clearly there was some connection to clowns and being scared of clowns and having this fear of them.
Yep.
But there's also this supernatural part of it. So is he really, like, what the heck is this guy? Is he an escaped convict? Is he... I don't know what he is, but the fact that
Gollum cosplayer.
Yeah, right. He's a
ran
Gollum
out from
cosplay. But like the fact that you kind of see his hand at some point, and then when
it disappears.
And it disappears. Yeah. Like clearly there's something
it's like supernatural
going on. Right.
Involved as well.
Yeah. And his sharp teeth. I mean, nobody has sharp teeth like that, right? Even if you're in an insane asylum.
What is he going to do with her? Do you know? What do you think?
I really don't know. I didn't even think about that. Actually, I don't really mind what he does to her. I told you I didn't really like him in the first place.
So, usually, I'm running out of time, but usually we do, we have friends or, you know, fans write in emails about their favorite horror films or a horror film that really just sort of...
Spark their interest in being a horror fan.
Yeah. And we'll read it and then we'll discuss it. And even like we'll take recommendations of, you know, from fans and we'll review it.
Listener
like,
mail.
Yeah. But we actually do have an email, but we're going to have time.
Yeah, we have plenty of time. I mean, we have all night, am I right? Yeah, this is a really good one. So yeah, as Minky said, we had a lot of write-ins about like how people got into horror, what made them, what affected them. This one's pretty good. So this was from JT. And he says, so I was always a pretty scared kid. Growing up in the 70s, shit was scary. I mean, have you ever heard of our version? I mean, have you ever heard of our version of the Doctor Who theme? The sound of the music was enough to send me running out of the room every time. However, as scared as I was, I would always sneak back in to try to watch what was happening. And I would usually make it in about 3 minutes every time. The 80s brought their own brand of terror for me. A babysitter I had would try and get me to go to bed by watching horror movies, the first being Friday the 13th Part 2, which was all Jason. I mean, what kind of babysitter is this? I was a babysitter.
Using
I never
shock.
Did that.
Yeah.
I would just like force them to go to bed. Which was all Jason trying to get back at everyone for killing his mom. It was trying to get back at everyone for killing her son because of, you know, sex. And again, I would make it in about 3 minutes before I'd have to run away. Next up would be Jaws, and that music still plays in my head whenever I go swimming. Again, 3 minutes in, followed by running away, followed by trying to sneak back in. A few years later, I was in fifth grade, new school, new friends. It was Halloween, and a bunch of people in my class were going trick-or-treating, then planned on watching, of course, Halloween. I was still terrified of scary movies, which would have been devastating to my efforts at being cool at my new school, so I figured I would bow out after the candy grabbing finished because, you know, like, parents are the worst, and like, oh, they're making me come home. I was dressed as, ironically, given our choice of movie that night, a clown. My mom had sewn the costume. It had pom-poms on the front. It was badass. Listen to this. He goes, this was also in my I want to be a clown phase, the early part, the phase that actually lasted until I was about 20, 21. I still get the itch. He's in his 40s. Anyway, as we were walking the mean streets of my idyllic town, and it scares me more now than it did then, but somehow myself and two friends got separated from the herd. And while we were admiring our huge halls of candy, a white van, I kid you not, and we've talked about these white vans before, with no back windows or decals or any identifying marks, rolled up alongside us, and a man, fairly nondescript, literally rolled down his window and asked if we wanted candy. It was like every PSA our tiny 80s brains had ever seen coming true. And before we ever had a chance to respond, a group of children with adults thankfully came around the corner, and the guy rolled up his window, hit the gas, and rolled out. We told the adults what had happened. They walked us to the police station where we told our story. Turns out we weren't the first kids that this happened to, and the police were on to them. We were escorted back to our classmates' house where we were celebrities for about 10 minutes. And after chowing down on some candy, we threw in the Halloween VHS and started watching. And here's the thing. For the first time in my life, I made it past the three-minute mark. The creepy POV sister murder, the nurse getting snatched from the car, Michael Myers cocking his head like a dog as after he impaled the beer-guzzling boyfriend. I remember that. The headstone in the bed, the amazing final girlness of JLC. in all her glory, all of it. And it wasn't until years later that I realized real life is way weirder and scarier than horror movies. I mean, I cat sit for a lady who lives in a haunted house. What? who casually mentioned to me the first time I came over that she had one of her dead cats in her freezer. What the
fuck? It's not
fuck?
A haunted house.
Which turned out to be three dead
killer's
cats.
Killer's house.
So yeah. Crazy cat lady's house. So yeah, hand me Michael Myers or Freddy or Pinhead any day. Them I get. It's real people that freak me out. And sharks. Still sharks. So that's pretty good.
The white van and the candy thing, right?
I mean, okay, the white van.
You couldn't do that now. Like, what would they offer now?
What do you mean?
Like, if the these kidnappers, like, they roll up and they're on their... what is that called? Fidget spinners, that's what they'll offer. Hey kids, you want some fidget spinners?
I don't even know what that is. Yeah, so
it's a little spinning thing.
Oh.
They should have fidget spinners on the wheels, right? On the van. That's what's up, right?
I just think all white vans should be banned from all car making. Like, they should not be able to make them anymore.
That's the cheapest, like, work van you can get.
It doesn't matter. They should at least color it some other color than white. White is clearly...
And that color would be... You know,
like make them pale blue or something nicer.
Pink. Pink. There you go. Pink. Hey, kids, you want some video games? Anyways, so I think that's all we got for today.
All right.
It says plug in social media, email.
Oh, I think I kind of did that. Oh, okay. So if you would like to write us, which I'm asking all of you to definitely do,
please, all of you,
every Last one of you, right this minute. It's onefinalscare@gmail.com. And you can find us, as I said before, on Instagram and Facebook. And we're just at One Final Scare.
And if you want to buy this awesome shirt that says one anal scare.
Actually, we changed it so you can't get one anal scares anymore.
Limited edition. <It's laughs> So write us an email. Like, tell us, like, if you want to recommend movies to us or
tell us what movie to watch next. Because otherwise, we just keep picking on our own. And they're not always good.
And I'd like to thank Laughing Desk Theater for giving us opportunity.
Yay!
And thank you, Nancy, for giving us this opportunity live and with all of you guys here. There's like I can't believe it. There's like 200 of you came out today. Oh my God, makes me so happy. But yeah, and that's it for us.
This is
Mickey.
This is Tracy.
Night.